I'm Yossi Selig, and I'm the host of Bandsplain, a show where we explain cult bands and iconic artists by going deep into their histories and discographies. We're back with a brand new season at our brand new home, the Ringer Podcast Network, tackling a whole new batch of artists, from grunge gods to power pop pioneers to new metal legends and many, many more. Listen to new episodes every Thursday, only on Spotify.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
It is Monday, September 26th. Hope you had a nice weekend. So the big question of the fall TV season is how many people are going to watch NFL football on Amazon Prime? We've all been wondering, and finally last week we got some answers, and they were surprisingly good for Amazon. 13 million people watched that first game, the Chargers versus the Chiefs, Mahomes and Justin Herbert. That's a big number. Most people, including me, thought it would be much lower. And it really got to this question of how much people will do to watch the NFL, because a lot of the NFL's viewers are not Amazon Prime Video people. It's much more rural. It's much older. It is not typically the demo that is always online. To break down that initial set of data, I wanted to have John Arand in here. He is the Sports Business Journal media reporter. He's been on the show before. He is the guy when it comes to ratings on television for sports and now streaming. And we're going to get into this question of what these numbers mean beyond what you and I saw, who's watching, who's not, and what does this mean for other leagues like the NBA and MLB? Everything is eventually transferring over to streaming, but how fast is it going to go and how significant are these numbers? That's today. From The Ringer and Puck, I'm Matt Bellany and this is The Town. Okay, we are here with John Arand from Sports Business Journal. You are our guy for all things ratings for sports. And we had an interesting one this past week with Amazon finally releasing numbers of the first Thursday night football game. It took a few days. We had a number that came out that I think surprised me, surprised you, I'm betting, and surprised a lot of people. 13 million people watched that first Thursday night football game that was available on streaming only. So tell me what you thought when you first saw the number.
I was surprised. Unqualified success for Amazon, as far as it goes for me. I had them beforehand. I didn't publish anything, so I should probably lie about this. But I had them around 8 million, probably lower than that going in.
Yeah, I guess 10. I thought a little bit less than 10.
Yeah, and they promised advertisers the ad guarantee. They promised up 12.5. And nobody thought they were going to get that, not even the advertisers that bought it. So having the big number come in at 13, I thought was really good. And once you dive into some of the numbers, which I know we're going to do, it looks even better. I mean, they had I went nuts on the preseason game they had at the end of August, where half their viewership came from over-the-air television.
Right. Because we should explain, I mean, even though it's available exclusively on Amazon Prime, in the markets of the teams, in this case, Kansas City and Los Angeles, it was available on over-the-air television as well.
Right. And so the big, big number that all of sports media was looking at was how much was going to come from over-the-air television, because if it was going to be a significant amount, it's, you know, who cares about streaming? It's all being viewed on television. Well, it wasn't a significant amount. It came all the way back down to where I think it was about 9% of the total. Combined, the two markets were just over a million viewers. So that was another. If I'm at Amazon, I'm looking at that number in particular, and I'm really happy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, and I watched it on Amazon Prime. I didn't even think, because it's, you heard Amazon has these games now, so you tuned in. So you say that Amazon has to be pleased with this. I think that's probably true. I know people internally at Amazon who were also very surprised by this number. So what does it mean? Like, how did they get there? Is it just that more people knew how to turn on their television and get to their smart TV app and put on Amazon than we thought would? Because the NFL an older and more rural audience, and people said, you know what, it's hard to make that switch. When ESPN started airing Monday Night Football, the ratings dropped 30%. So what is it that caused, what is it that allowed them to get to this number?
Well, I think that's what's the most fascinating part about this. And I know a lot of people are talking about this is going to be the entryway for sports onto streaming, but what got this number was the NFL. It was the Shield. I mean, people have proven time and time again that they're going to follow the NFL and figure out where the games are and watch those games. And so the NFL was smart. You know, when it gave when it did the Thursday night schedule, it made the best Thursday night game the leadoff game. This was a game that last year was also on Thursday Night Football. It was on Fox, Amazon, NFL Network, Twitch, and it got about 18 million viewers across all of those. So it got much more sort of on that linear TV, but it was a great game, star quarterbacks, good teams, and it went to the end. I mean, Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback, was throwing touchdown passes with a broken rib. It was, I don't want to say it was great television, it goes streaming, but it was great television, right?
Sure. And it's interesting that number being down about 30% from the number last year. So it's basically, we can predictably say now that 30% of audiences don't like changing the channel or going to something new.
Yeah. Well, of course, it was also later in the season. And I mean, there are a lot of qualifiers that you can make to that. But I really don't want to suggest that, you know, all of a sudden there's going to be this cavalcade of leagues going to streaming, because that's not going to happen. I think that is going to happen eventually, but it's not going to happen for a good long while. And the main reason is, like, what you see with Amazon and the NFL right now is what you're going to see with Amazon and the NFL into the 2030s. I mean, the NFL has no more games to give to Amazon. They have deals with Fox, CBS, NBC, ESPN, ABC. They're committed to old broadcast television for more than a decade, and that's not going to change.
Well, but most of those broadcasters, excluding Fox, do have their own streaming service, and eventually we will see. I mean, we're already seeing simulcasts on Paramount Plus for the CBS games, Peacock for the Sunday Night Football games. Eventually, that seesaw will ultimately switch, and more viewers will go to streaming than are on linear. But I agree with you. I don't think that's going to happen for a long time for the NFL, but this is a big deal. I think this is showing that a major league can have a viable streaming exclusive for their marquee franchise, for, you know, their marquee games. Now, I know Thursday is not as prominent as Sunday or Monday, but it's a big deal. This is not like the MLB games you can watch on Peacock or Apple TV. This is, you know, double digit millions.
Yeah, so Matt, I cover sports media, and so it's impossible to look at the Amazon game and the results without looking at it through the NBA's lens, because the NBA is sort of, that's the next big league to come up. It's going to come up in 2025, and if I'm the NBA, I'm taking a look at, number one, the way that Amazon presented the NFL was just top-notch. They spent the amount of money that Fox and CBS spent on the championship games. I mean, they had close to 30 cameras there. They brought in the best play-by-play voice in NFL history in Al Michaels. They spend a lot of money on Kirk Herbstreit, who's really known in the college area. They have Fred Gaudelli. It's an NBC Sunday Night Football production.
Tony G. Don't forget Tony Gonzalez.
as well, absolutely.
Formerly married to Jeff Bezos' current girlfriend also. But that's a separate story.
You know what? I never knew that.
Oh, you didn't get that connection?
No.
He was married to Lauren Sanchez, who is now with Jeff Bezos. But that's a separate issue. So, yes, I agree. The presentation was great. You know, they definitely put the Amazon money behind it. Let's dive in a little bit more on the numbers. What do you see in the numbers that maybe someone like me or someone listening to this may not see beyond that 13 million number?
Okay, so I talked about the number of people watching on broadcast that fell in Amazon's favor very mm-hmm. very well. The average age of the viewer, I know because you deal with Hollywood, it's younger to stream. But in sports, they didn't really know that because sports tends to have sort of an older fan bases.
Sure.
And so what's going to happen if it goes streaming? Is it just going to be the old fan bases following the sports, or are they going to be able to get within streaming and get younger? And they got younger. They got a lot younger. The average age for Amazon's Game One audience was 46 years old. And that's 7 years younger than the average age for linear TV's first 2 weeks of the NFL games, which was 53 years old.
So what that's telling me is that the NFL is a property where cord cutters now have a way to watch, and they are many of them are Amazon customers, and they're going to find this, and that makes perfect sense.
And so if you look at this through the lens of the NBA or some of the other leagues, like, okay, we always suspected that we would get younger. And it's only one game, but boy, it did get a lot younger. But the one other thing that I really want to highlight is the people watching Amazon games watched them a lot longer than the ones watching on regular television. So,
oh, that's fascinating.
It's probably because you can't change the channel.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I don't know why. That's one of them. Another theory is that if you're watching via Amazon on a computer, you have a bunch of tabs open. And so you just kind of leave that open and you're doing other things on the tab.
But I really do think that there is so much friction involved in switching streaming services. You can't just go from channel 2 to channel 11 and back and forth. You've got to log out. You got to go into the other one. It's got to have the interface. You got to make your choice.
Well, it depends where you're watching, right? Like what John describing is if you're watching it on your laptop, it's very easy to open a new tab.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about smart TVs.
Yeah, if you're an old guy like me, you just want to watch on TV. It's like, I got to get out of the app and then get back into the app. It becomes a lot more cumbersome. And as you both know, the NFL with its like regular commercial breaks is tailor made for channel surfing. You know, you got the break and you channel surf.
Right.
And yeah, I found me personally, I was stuck on Amazon. I wasn't going to get out of the app and get back into the app.
And it's hilarious that they didn't allow beer commercials because Amazon doesn't sell beer. I'm surprised I didn't get noticed immediately. Like people didn't jump on that, but you know, I guess selling, you know, hamburgers that give you heart disease is okay, but beer that gives you
I had a story about that on Monday. It's like there was no beer commercials and two autos. It was Mercedes and I forget what the second one was. So if you're used to watching an NFL game, you're used to watching a lot of beer, you're used to watching a lot of autos, and they were not there. And I think a big part of that is that, you know, some of these big advertisers, they're waiting to get the numbers, and they're going to need more than 1 week's worth of numbers. They're just not sold yet on this new system.
Anything else in the numbers that surprised you?
No, the one thing that I am going to take a look at though is like if the tune in is so long, that generally means that the reach isn't. And so one thing that's going to be hard to convince advertisers is, you know, well, we have a smaller audience, but they're watching longer. They don't want to keep hitting the same people with the same messages. They want to cast a wider net to get their messages out there. How that plays out is you know, a story. All of this is a story that I'm going to be writing about for a year. So it'll be fun.
So here's the thing. Do you think the ratings go up from here? Or do you think that they decline or plateau? Because I initially was like, oh, there's going to be a big burst out of the gate of people being interested in this, and then it will decline and level off. I actually think the opposite now. I think that once you get people to check this out and they, you know, whether they log into their Amazon account or they download the app or whatever it is that causes them to change their behavior, that they then will stick with it and we'll see a gradual increase as the season goes on. Do you agree with that or no?
You know, I hate to disagree with you on your own pod, but
please,
yeah,
no, Craig does it all the time.
I totally disagree. Yeah, I feel like Lucas Shaw here.
Yeah,
they started with the best game, and I viewed that game as like it was an event. It was like, you know, Roger Goodell was calling it, you know, an historic day in NFL history. Thursday Night Football is not an event. I mean, it's a package of games that all of the linear TV networks passed on. None of them wanted it. So it ended up on Amazon. And I think the whole idea of it being a big event is going to start to fade. And once you get past the Chargers and the Chiefs, which again are two good teams, it's going to get a good rating. I think week 15 is going to be the Jets and the Jaguars.
Sure. Well, but this past week, they had the Steelers and the Browns. That's a decent game.
Yeah, I think that'll get a good number. I do think it's front-loaded and it's going to start to fade. Steelers, a national team, interdivision rival. The Browns have a rabid fan base. I'm expecting that to get a really big number.
Interesting. All right. Well, my takeaway on this is that this we are going to look back on the evolution of sports media in 10, 20 years. And we are going to look back to that date and say, this was the day that sports on streaming became real. Do you agree with that? Or has this been a gradual long time coming? Or was it some UFC match on ESPN Plus that I don't even know about?
Well, yeah. I mean, ESPN just streamed Monday Night Football and got big numbers as well. That always did make me laugh. This is not historic. I could watch a Yahoo streamed exclusively NFL games from London.
No, but not exclusively.
In the same sort of exclusivity.
Oh, really?
It was just in the home markets. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
And, back in 2012, you know, NBC's Olympics, they started streaming the Olympics. So I think this is certainly another step in it. And I like the way that you put that in 20 or 30 years, because we've just come out of like a couple of month period where, the Big Ten media rights were up and Amazon came in with the biggest bid and the guys at the Big Ten decided that they wanted to stick with broadcast. Formula One was the same deal. UEFA Champions League, it was the same deal. And every time there's been a rights deal that's come up, they've gone to broadcast because they like the broadcast reach, and they've shunned, Amazon's been the most aggressive that's been throwing more money at them. Will this and these numbers start to turn that? I suspect that it might. I mean, the numbers were that big and that good.
John, I asked this to Matt earlier. I'm curious your thoughts. We can include this or not, but like, how much do the ratings even really matter from an advertising perspective? Like, even if these numbers were lower, I mean, isn't the fact that they're getting people to watch a football game on Amazon on a platform that is one click away from purchasing a product literally a second after watching the ad, isn't that so much more important? Like an ad for toilet paper on TV does nothing because you can't buy the toilet paper on your television, but an ad for toilet paper on Amazon, you can immediately go and buy the toilet paper. So do you think that the future of streaming sports is actually much more important long-term because of how it can affect advertising?
And they were trying to try. I think the problem there is that Amazon was trying to charge a premium for that, because even more than you can click through and buy it, it's like we can say exactly who's watching your ads in a way that that broadcast can't.
Right, you could like dynamically insert ads for each viewer, yeah. Right?
I will say this: I'm going nuts on I'm going crazy on this story, but it's mainly because we've never seen these numbers before from Nielsen is getting in there doing and rating the shows as a third party saying how many people are watching this game. And then I'm able to see the numbers that come out of that. Like we haven't had that like with with NBC, Apple for their baseball. They won't tell anybody. The MLB won't tell anybody. Even some advertisers say that they don't know like how many people are watching those Apple games. And so just the fact that we're able to see these is really unique. The other thing, like I did a story just recently, like if I ran one of these broadcast networks and Thursday Night Football went from broadcast to some streaming service, I would be counter-programming the heck out of that. And none of them are. And the reason they're not is even the lowest prediction, like I had it at 7 or 8 million. Mm-hmm. They're like, nothing on TV gets 7 or 8 million. So why are we going to counter-program that? And so it's the idea of, you know, are we spending too much on ratings? Yes, yeah, because NFL ratings, they could be down 20%, but it's still the linchpin of, you know, the business that we cover.
I know. Who's the biggest loser in all of this? Like, is this just the first Jenga block being plucked from like broadcast television? Its eventual demise?
I don't want to say, that's a good question. And I'll answer it. I don't want to say though, because it's only one game. And so who knows what's going to happen? Maybe people went in and were like, I'm tired of watching, you know, video and audio not being synced, or I'm tired of watching a blurry picture when too many people come on. Mm. So the winners and losers can change between now and week six. As of right now, since you asked, the winners are every other league commissioner is a winner. I mean, you now have, it used to be like, yeah, we might go to streaming and the networks would laugh and be like, good luck. Yeah. Have fun. Now this is that is a legitimate outlet, for them to go. And losers would have to be the broadcast networks who, you know, all of a sudden Amazon, that was a broadcast type number, 13 million. I mean, that's a big number. And so all of a sudden you have a streaming service that has, well, not the reach of broadcasters, significant reach. I would put them as a loser right now, but that could all change in a week.
A cord cutter can have a meaningful NFL experience now. And I think that's a big deal. If you are a casual NFL fan and you only want streaming services, you do not want to subscribe to the cable bundle, you can now watch the CBS games on Sunday. You can watch Sunday Night Football on NBC. You can watch Thursday Night Football. And anything else?
Well, no, that's another fascinating story. Fox and ESPN are so dependent on the cable money.
Well, Fox in particular, they don't have a general interest streaming service, but ESPN does, yet they have chosen or not been able to put Monday Night Football on ESPN Plus.
For now, we'll see. This could be opening the floodgates where it's like, you know, we need to start to get those people, but then they have those cord cutters. But then they're going to have a lot of hard talks with the cable operator saying, like, what are we paying for then?
Exactly. That's the problem there. All right. John Aron, thank you very much. You're going to be writing about it all at Sports Business Journal. We always appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. We are back with the call sheet, or normally this is the call sheet. No prediction today. I am actually at Disneyland with my kid and one of his friends. So I didn't want to make a prediction because we're recording in advance. Craig, do you want to make a prediction about what I am currently doing right now when this is airing?
When this is airing, you're probably 2 Pinot Noirs deep waiting in line. You're on hour 1 of the Tower of Terror, praying that nobody recognizes your voice and turns around and starts yelling at you about your Star Wars opinions.
That's good guess. Yes, you're right. In order to have booze, you have to be at California Adventure because they actually do not sell booze at Disneyland.
I know. I factored that in.
Only in 2 places. They sell it at the Star Wars Cantina area.
They're not going to serve you there if the guy behind the counter has listened to the town.
Yes, exactly. and they have it at that restaurant at the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Not that I have checked the website to search that out, but
I want you to give me one prediction. Which ride will you ride the most amount of times?
I don't really do rides over again, especially since now with all the like fast pass renewal.
Your son doesn't want to like, let's go again, let's go again.
Maybe, but you know, we've been before. He likes things like Dumbo and the teacups and things like that. So maybe we'll have to do those multiple times. I try to prevent that because you want to, you know, you got to be efficient at these parks. You got to try to do as much as possible. And if you linger on one ride, you don't get as much in. I do my homework.
It's, you need an entire blueprint to have a successful day at Disneyland.
It's actually kind of amazing how complicated it is now. You have to like wake up at 5:30 in the morning and start making reservations. You got to like plan your lunch and dinner in advance.
Here's an idea. Disneyland should offer Disney day planners where they map your day out for you.
They do. It's called, they're called plaids, or they're tour guides that you can get. And I've done it before, and it costs an absolute fortune. You get to skip the lines. You get to have a guy who walks you around and, you know, says, oh, Mr. Incredible will be outside the Incredible Coaster at 4:26 p.m. We're going to go meet him there. And they will, they just ask you, what do you like? I say, my kid loves the Cars movies. He likes, you know, Star Wars. And they say, okay. And they have a whole thing where they will map out your day for you.
And you're like, and I'd like a stiff gin and tonic. I'm like, okay, we can.
Trust me, he will do that too. But you have to pay an arm and a leg even more than you normally do.
I don't like the name plaid. If they come up with a better name for that, I'd be in.
Well, they're not. That's the slang. They're called VIP tour guides or something like that. If you ever go to the parks, you see them because the men are wearing plaid vests. The women are wearing like plaid outfits with, you know, dresses with like a skirt and pantyhose. It's kind of very traditional. You'll see them around, and people get them because it's a way to cut the lines, but they will actually plan your whole day out for you. If you're like Mariah Carey and you want to bring your 10 kids or whatever, you can do that.
Wow. All right. Well, I hope you're having a good time right now.
I probably am not. So, all right. Thank you to John Aron for coming on the show. Thanks to producer Craig, and we will see you on Wednesday.